Welcome to Thoughtfully Us, the space where three therapists of color sit down to talk about mental health, real life, and the human side of healing. We're colleagues, friends, and licensed therapists. And so in this podcast, we're pulling back the curtain on not just therapy, but on being people of color in this field and on the parts of life we don't always get to process in the therapy room. So whether you're in therapy, thinking about it, or just trying to make sense of your own healing journey, we're so glad you're here. A quick disclaimer is that this podcast is for informational purposes only. It is not a substitute for therapy, medical advice, or diagnosis. Listening to this podcast does not create a therapeutic relationship with any of the hosts. Tease up for Thoughtfully Us. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
We are doing our final segment of the Behind the Mic series, which, drum roll, actually, I don't know, I'm clapping, so whatever, something. We are asking questions to Morgan.
Woo! Save the best for last. Just kidding.
Morgan is our wonderful third co-host who... I don't know how to describe Morgan, but she's, go ahead. Yes.
You can say, I'm going to take this away, Maya, because Maya is Morgan's twin. And so
she's biased.
She's going to say, yeah, but she is biased. Morgan is our host who actually we owe Thoughtfully Us really coming to fruition. We owe it to Morgan. We've been thinking about doing this for a long time, but as we've discussed in the past, when Morgan puts her mind to something, she will get it done. And she put her mind to this. And next thing you knew, she was buying equipment, signing us up for things, talking to people. She still manages so much while growing a human being herself.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So,
woo, Morgan! Morgan's episode.
Woohoo! I'm excited and nervous.
You're going to do great.
We are excited to ask you again more professional questions of just who you are as a therapist, as a professional. You know, you're doing a lot, wearing a lot of different hats. And then we'll kind of get into more fun, lighthearted questions towards the end. But we're excited to learn a little bit more about you. So let's get into it.
Yay.
So. Yeah. Based on your role as a therapist, as PhD candidate, all of these things, what's one lesson? You can also do more than one if your heart is telling you to do more. What's one lesson your clients have taught you?
Whoa. That's a good question. I will start by saying I've worked with a variety of clients. I think I actually had some elementary school kids at one point. So I worked with all the age groups, all backgrounds, which I love. So I think just that you never really know what someone is going through, like something that you've said or done can impact someone else for a long time. And that's parents impacting their kids, kids impacting each other on the playground, or if they were friends, or old relationships, like things always impact you. So to like be careful and just like notice and recognize the energy you're giving off to someone. That way we can like end the cycle, I think, is one of the biggest lessons. So I think that kind of guides me. I feel like I also would say maybe having fun. My clients teach me that, especially my teenagers, are like, you need time to like do nothing but also do all your hobbies and have fun and try new things, new adventures, and that one day you're always going to be busy. Like that's just life. Mm-hmm. And even one of my professors said this, you're only going to get busier as you get older, but if you can find time to like pause, have fun, play, then you have a life worth living right there. So
I like the idea that like you are also kind of like learning in that shared space together too.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Love that. Before we kind of move on to some more personal stuff, Morgan, I didn't know if you wanted to explain a little bit. Like, you, we talk a lot about therapy, I think, because Maya and I are like in that world with you, but Maya mentioned another huge role in your life as a PhD candidate. So did you want to share a little bit more about like all the millions of things you're juggling? Morgan works like 7 jobs. She's in different programs, friend to like 100 people, and also growing a human being, and I probably left out a lot more.
Yeah, I do a lot of things, but I just love learning, so I don't know, that's probably why I wear a ton of different hats. But yeah, so I'm getting I have my master's, and my professional license is in clinical social work, but my doctoral degree will actually be in counselor education and supervision. So, like, those are individuals who are licensed professional counselors. Different license than social workers, but there's a lot of overlap. Some things are different just because of the history of both fields, but there's a lot of overlap in them. And I chose that instead of doing a doctoral program in social work, one, because I couldn't really find that many. And I didn't want to doctorate in social work. I wanted a PhD because I am interested in research. So I hope one day there's more PhD programs in social work. I think that'd be cool. So counselor education just seemed to make sense. Very heavily clinical based. We did a lot of like practicum stuff. So we saw clients and had to supervise interns who saw clients. Did our own like diagnosis, treatment planning, just all the clinical stuff, assessments. We learned how to do all that, or relearned. It was very clinical heavy, but I really like that element of the program. And then also the supervision element, because I love working with newer clinicians in the field and just kind of helping them evolve and learn and grow. So that was a big piece of why I chose that. But then the word candidate, I was like, oh, I am a candidate now, which means I'm supposed to be doing my dissertation right now, but it's kind of on pause because I'm like, I'm tired, but I will get back into it. And for those who don't know, a dissertation is the long paper that essentially you publish, and you conduct research on a specific topic, and then you have to defend your research proposal in a setting with like professors and all these other staff members, a lot of academic people, and explain why you did what you did, and why the research matters, and what people will take away from it. That'll all be probably a year from now for me, but it is going to be focused on maternal mental health, because I think since undergrad I've been interested in that, and it's just such an important topic, an important population that doesn't always get recognized, especially in the academic space. One day I can definitely talk more about it, but there were a lot of moms in my program who are older than me, or like years ahead of me, or were just started behind me, and I'm in awe of them juggling motherhood while working. Most of us work too, and being in school. So it just made sense to use all those passions and be like, I'm going to focus on you guys. So now I'm a part of it, but for a while I wasn't. So we'll see what I come up with and what I find and discover through the research.
Woo! Such important work. And I think in last week's episode, you mentioned like, kind of, you highlighted me and Maya being women of color and like two kind of niche specialties with my eating disorders and me with trauma and perinatal mental health, that like there's not a lot of women of color in these spaces. Right. And I think that's true of research too. Like I said, Morgan does a bunch of different things at once. And so I log into CEU, a continuing education training. Morgan's usually in there too. And I'm like, how are you in this?
Hey, it's Nelly.
That happened to us last week. And like, we had a kind of, like, we were talking on the side kind of about how often like statistics or things about like Black maternal mental health or maternal health in general are discussed in these spaces as an effort to educate white people or people of color who are not Black. And like doing that in a way that could be really triggering to the Black folks in the room, but without like a trigger warning. And yeah. Morgan had like all these ideas of things related to this. And so as you're saying this, I'm like, yeah, like you're kind of in this space where we really do need to hear your voice and uplift those voices. So pretty amazing work you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. Sorry for my long-winded answer. I also realized like, ooh, Nelly, you might attest to this. When I talk now, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to breathe more. And I used to because my body is not the same.
Remember when I did that presentation and I was like huffing and puffing? It literally was like, I'm sorry, everyone, I'm pregnant.
That's what I think about now when I have to like give a lecture or talk for an extended amount of time. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to breathe more.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Well, thank you, like Nelly said, for answering those questions. We appreciate the work you're doing and will go on to do as well. Outside of the various hats that you wear in the professional world, who are you?
Oh.
Molly said, tell me who you are.
The base. No. Who are you outside of being a therapist?
So I'm someone who loves, I mean, I always say this, I just love learning. And if that's by watching something, reading, I have a whole, like half bookcase here, I have a whole bookshelf downstairs of things I still need to read. I just don't have time. I just love learning. So it makes sense why I'm in a doctoral program where I can do research all the time. I also love like just stillness. I'm really big into being outside. Like I love when it's nice out. I love spring. I was going to say summer. I really don't. It's kind of hot, but I love spring and I love going on walks and being in nature, just disconnecting, cooking, and kind of being around friends and family. So I think my personality, sometimes people say I'm very extroverted. I don't think I am. I'm actually very shy and anxious, which maybe we'll talk about more. But I just love people and love like learning people and things like that. So that's kind of who I am, I guess.
I feel like you got a little shy and anxious at the end there.
I was like, I don't know if I answered the question right.
You did. And I think it is a good example of how like we never know what someone's going through, because I do think if you didn't know you, you do appear very extroverted.
Yes.
But for us who know you, we're like, she is working overtime and she's gonna need like a fat nap after this because we're managing a lot of anxiety here. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you made a lot of growth there. So go you.
Thank you.
Pretty awesome.
I was gonna say cooking, yes, baking. Mm-hmm. You like things that require patience.
Yes.
You were into crochet for a minute there.
Yeah, I was.
You like to read. You like tea.
Mm-hmm.
You like to try new things too. You're like very like, yeah, let's just do it. Let's try that. Let's do that.
New places to eat, coffee shops, even though I don't really love coffee. Maybe we'll talk about it another time. But I like trying new coffee shops and stuff.
Places to eat, but in bed by 7:30.
Always.
Yes.
But Morgan graces our presence. I mean, we're at different points in our lives. But like there was a time for like birthdays that Morgan would make sure like that was our birthday present. She would stay out. I mean, Maya shares a birthday with her, so that's a little different. But actually, that was your birthday present too. We'd be like begging Morgan to stay out.
Mm-hmm.
Maya and I would always make sure that we had our separate ride for when we came. But yeah, I think you do, even though you go to bed early, which our nickname for Morgan is Grandma. Because...
Yes, it is.
She wants to be like cozy in bed early. She can't see.
I really can't see.
At all.
My glasses are thick with 2 C's. And these are my old prescription glasses, so.
Like, they're thick. Like, you can use them as a weapon.
Right. Yeah.
For sure.
But yes.
Well, thank you for sharing about that, like who you are outside of a therapist. Kind of along those lines, what do you think, like, is something that you've either already healed from or like you're healing from?
So I was like, I know I'm going to talk about anxiety in this because it's just such a part of my life. And I've talked about it in a few episodes because definitely had it in childhood. Definitely had it in my teen years. But I mean, I don't know if it's the time we were growing up. Like there was like a cultural shift. Like people had anxiety disorders and some were probably on medication, but it wasn't really talked about as much. Mm-hmm. But I knew that something was going on because just talking to people, mm-hmm. like the way that I can talk now and give lectures in front of students and things like that, I couldn't even imagine doing that when I was younger. So I knew something was wrong because my whole body would shut down. I'd be like just thinking nonstop over like the littlest things, shaky, couldn't sleep. Like it was just all the symptoms, all the traditional symptoms you see, just never diagnosed because I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. It wasn't like that big of a thing. But when we went to New York City for grad school, I say we as the three of us, my anxiety being away from home, being in a transition, grad school is just a lot in general. Mm. You really bond with people in grad school because just how much you go through. But being in New York for me was just like a shock, I think, to my system. I didn't really have the supports that I had here. I didn't really, like, I had some control because you have classes at a certain time, but it was a lot and it was new and different. And I think that's when my anxiety really was like, oh, we are here. We are in full force. We're coming out. And so there were a lot of times where, like, I would have to leave class early or I wouldn't even go to class. Like, I was just paralyzed in bed, things like that. And so it was in New York where I finally saw a therapist who was like, you know, you might benefit from seeing a psychiatrist. And so I did that. And I remember, it's kind of like funny, the parallels now, but I remember in this one class we had, I brought the readings we were supposed to do because I had an intake with a psychiatrist and she said it would take an hour. I also had to travel there and I'm always early to things, I think. But I brought the readings and we were learning that week about the anxiety disorders in the DSM. So I was like reading through and I was like, wait, I have this. Or I go through this, I experience this. And then after the intake, all of that, she was like, you definitely have generalized anxiety disorder. I had panic disorder at the time and just PTSD from some things that we've gone through. But that was like the first time I was like, oh my God, someone understands. And I feel like this whole world was unlocked. And like, it's not just me. It's not just in my head, but there's something that this is called. And so it was like the missing piece to the puzzle. Anxiety doesn't go away. And I tell all my clients that it's biological. It's always with you, but you can learn how to manage it. You can learn how to cope and live with it. And so that's something I'm definitely still working on and healing from. And being pregnant now, I think anxiety, depression, all those things, perenatal, mental health is so interesting, so fascinating. But I think all those things can be heightened too. So mm-hmm. now that I'm pregnant and about to start this whole journey of motherhood, I'm like, I need to get my stuff in order. I need to make sure like I'm checking in with my therapist. I'm making sure to take my medication. Like I'm just trying to prepare myself the best that I can because I know that anxiety will be right behind me. So those are some things I would say I'm still working on and still healing from.
Mic drop. That was so like, I don't know, I feel like that was so vulnerable and I feel like so many listeners will relate to that. And it's really confusing when you like have a norm that doesn't feel normal and you're like, yeah, what do I do? And I think getting a diagnosis can be really validating in that way. But I think you're a really good example for a lot of people about like, you really don't know what somebody's going through. Mm-hmm. Because again, like, I really don't think people would maybe like be able to see how anxious you are based off of like your presentation. Yeah. So I think it's really like important and helpful that you're able to say aloud, like, I am a really anxious person, and these are things I've been struggling with.
Definitely.
And to not let it be debilitating or like a barrier to these other things, like that's getting true. Your PhD, motherhood, all the things.
All the things. Now, let me set you back to something I really worked with my clients on. So my main client focus is helping people overcome or learn how to manage their anxiety. And something I tell them is like, you know, anxiety maybe took all these experiences and events and years from you, but it doesn't have to continue that way. So that's something I really, maybe that was my answer to the first question. That's something I've learned from my clients of like, yeah, I was super anxious back then, but all those things I missed, I can do now and just know how to cope with it in a different way. So that's kind of the beauty.
I love that.
Me too. That's
wow.
great.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And that's for us too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Morgan is very like, she does like to learn. And I just always picture Morgan as a young kid reading the Magic Treehouse series. Like that is to me Morgan with her glasses on in the corner or in reading. Is Morgan.
Yes.
And it's so continued.
Yeah. Maya is just bitter because I would always be reading and not always want to play outside or play like games. She was like, probably like, what's the point of having a twin if they're not going to play?
I mean, we still have to beg you essentially to play with us now.
It never changed. It just evolved.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, we beg. I'm like, please stay 2 hours.
Please
attend this event.
Please come to this. We're like, we have to come.
But people who probably just see, and that's why, disclaimer, social media isn't true. Because people on social media are probably like, dang, she's always out. Always, like, there's all these friends.
Yeah, get a lot.
Yeah, but I'm like, no, actually, I have to, like, pick and choose what I have the energy for. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, Maya, Nelly, and our friend Jasmine are begging me to like just come.
Yes.
Come for a little, stay till 7 instead of 6, you know? It's funny how they see the real and rawness for sure.
Yeah.
We beg.
We do. Always. Anyway.
What? Like, it's nice to be begged for. Anyway.
I was going to say, that's exactly what I was going to say. I said, Morgan likes that we beg.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a
sight. Part of me is like, I don't want to do this ever again.
Yeah. Oh, Morgan, did you just give Maya and I the ick?
I know. I'm like, dang.
This is why she makes us do it, Maya. She really just, she likes that we tell her we love her and want her presence.
We text her and she's like that, what's it called? Like, when you text a sibling or a friend, but they give off the energy of someone like not interested in you, that's both of my siblings, to be clear. But Morgan, that is Morgan. When we're like, come hang out.
Depends.
She doesn't answer.
Don't even see, using my phone's not next to me. So I just don't really see texts till later. I'm like, oh, I missed like 100 messages.
And then you don't go back. I know in our group chat, I know when we're talking at a certain point, I'm like, oh, Morgan's not going to go back and read these. Yeah. So like sometimes when you do come back, I'll be like, don't forget to look at that message. Or like, did you see this?
Yeah. I'm like, I just, when you miss so much, and listeners and viewers probably can attest. Well, I'm asking them, when you miss so much in a group message, do you go back and read everything that was sent? Or do you just start at where you open the messages at?
I go back and read everything that's
what do I do? I know you guys go back.
Maya, you're a liar.
What? I do.
No, you don't, because Morgan will send like a video and then you'll send the same thing.
No. Yeah. Morgan used to do it to me all the time.
You both do it. You do it to each other.
We do it to each other.
Aslan, help me.
I go back and read. I just might not like analyze it for a few days.
Okay.
I'm always like, it takes 3 business days to like
for Maya to actually like invest.
If you want a thoughtful answer response.
Yeah.
You have to put in an inquiry for Maya's brain process, like use of her brain. You have to put in an inquiry. If it gets approved, then you still have to like wait for it to be processed. Mm-hmm.
3 to 5 business days.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm popping off. I'm like, if I have my phone near me,
Millie will.
But what do you want to say, Maya?
We'll text and like, aw.
I will text? Are you kidding? You're blown up my phone. Yeah. You have conversations in the group chat that happen individual.
I do. Anyway. I'm working all the time, random things too. I just like kind of being random. But it's more when people want to be serious, I think that's where my brain's like, oh, because I reserve that for this therapy space only.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
So it should only be for the therapy space. We'll ask therapists. I'm going to ask therapists this on Threads. How do you navigate?
What's Threads?
I let her finish. Goodbye.
Is Twitter for Instagram? Oh. Is it as great? No, but it's...
Thoughtfully Us is on there?
Yes.
Maya, let Maureen finish.
See. So, for therapists, my question would be, how do you navigate holding space all day in sessions, but also for your friends or loved ones if they want someone to talk to?
Oh,
it can be a lot. It's definitely draining.
For sure.
Yeah. I'll ask and I'll have Maya read the replies on Threads.
And strategies.
Yeah.
Well, since all of us who've gone to, me and Ellie, who've gone so far, in the series, we've been talking a lot about our favorite foods. It's caused some debates.
Drama.
Some drama attention. But we want to ask you, what is a food that you never get tired of?
I think it's hard to answer because I'm pregnant right now.
Mm.
And so right now, this baby boy loves burgers. It's the weirdest thing.
I think that was my answer for you, regardless of pregnancy.
No. There's times where I just don't even want a burger at all. But now that I'm pregnant, I do.
That makes sense. I feel like you need a lot to grow a baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Five Guys is super expensive, and we'll talk about that another time.
Is making Morgan broke.
Yes, and my husband broke mainly. I send him out to get it because I know it's expensive. But I could be, you know how many rewards points I would have if I had signed up for the rewards? And I guess it's not too late, but like, dang, the last 2 months, crazy. But I was going to say, any kind of pasta with red sauce, I never get tired of. Like, I love red sauce. I could eat it out of a jar just by itself with a spoon. I don't like sweet tomato sauce, though. Like the fake ones, like Ragu and stuff, which no shade.
Morgan. I can't. We're losing listeners.
I know. I can't.
Ragu supporters.
Ragu army.
Rise up. But I just can't. With sweet sauce, but our Nana used to make spaghetti with sweet sauce, so I'm like, I can eat it, but I love just normal, non-sweet tomato sauce. So any kind of pasta, ravioli, spaghetti, lasagna with the red sauce, I'll eat it any day of the week. And one day, I hope to go to Italy, for those wondering what I want for my birthday or my baby shower. I am a size first class.
You want us to take you to Italy?
You can't even go to Italy for your birthday because you'll be
having a baby.
But that doesn't mean I can't get a plane ticket to Italy as a gift.
In this economy.
In these times, I know.
That actually leads me to our last question for you. I was going to ask you if you were if you weren't a therapist, what you would be? Would you be a traveler? Is that what you're saying?
What? There's context here that the listeners don't know and won't know about.
I'm so sorry, listeners.
Yeah, they're probably like, "What? Why are they laughing?" Because there's a whole thing about me being a traveler in another life that I don't know if it's true, but I do love traveling. I'd probably, yeah, I guess. Usually my go-to is a teacher. That's just what I always was going to do.
Oh, I could, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Could I do it now? No, because these kids are wild. But I still love the idea of just, like, teaching and helping people grow. So I probably do, like, middle school and high school, which might be shocking. But teaching would be my answer for sure.
That makes sense. You did really well when you worked in schools, too.
Yeah, I loved school-based work. Hopefully we can talk about that or have a guest who's still in the schools. School-based work was fun, and then COVID hit, and then it wasn't so fun.
Yeah, you crushed at school. And school-based work takes, like, a certain type of therapist. Like, I did school-based work. I loved it, but I just...
Yeah.
And you crushed it. So you'll have to talk about that one day.
Thank you. I also realized Maya's wearing her New York shirt.
In New York.
So, yeah. So thanks for learning about me and letting me go on my long answer tangents. And I will remind myself to breathe when I answer questions.
Is there anything you feel like we did not, like, get to about who you are at your core or anything?
I don't think so. No.
You guys not gonna mention Mason.
Oh yeah, that's what I was gonna say. You guys know I love my dog Mason. He usually is in here when we record, but he's actually not in here right now. But he is my first child, and people are like, "Dogs aren't your kids." Blah blah blah. I'm like, I carried him. I don't know. but he'll be five next week. Actually, on Wednesday when one of the episodes drops. So maybe we'll give him a shout out on social as well.
That means Rusty's going to be six.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Our dogs, me and Nellie's dogs, are a day apart, but Rusty's a year older than Mason. But
Very cute. Wow, that's crazy.
Mm. I also feel like, well, you've talked about this in many episodes, but I think if you need to know anything about Morgan is that she loves Broadway.
And theater kid.
Theater adult.
Yes.
So
that's probably what you would be if you weren't a therapist.
Well, I was going to say that, but like, I learned early on, I don't have the voice.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You just get nervous and limit yourself. Ooh. No,
I don't have it. I don't have it. But I do love it. And I think it'd be fun to be part of it in some way. That'd be cool. So yeah. I love theater, I love Broadway, and good luck to my future son, who can hear me now, who hears me sing all day.
So he is listening to us as we speak.
Yeah, he's listening to
our first, hopefully,
yes,
baby that listens.
Well, thank you, Morgan, for answering our questions honestly, beautifully.
And thoughtfully.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking.
Maybe, just maybe, you'll grace us with your presence past 7:30 p.m.
You know, I looked at my calendar the other day, and I'm actually pretty busy.
Oh, my Lord.
Morgan. I know. I'm trying to stay up later, but now that I'm also pregnant, I literally
get
past 7:30.
I totally get you.
But I was gonna say a fun fact, which I don't know if it's sharing too much, but that Morgan and Nellie's partner are like best friends, and Morgan was in the wedding and stood on his side because they're closer than Nellie and Morgan are.
Well, we have, in my marriage, we have teams. We have a Team Maya and a Team Morgan. And my partner is Team Morgan, and I've been Team Maya. And Morgan was a groomsman in our wedding because of that.
Yes, I was.
And yes, my partner can relate to Morgan. They're very similar. So when I have disagreements, Morgan will definitely bring out his perspective for me.
Mm-hmm.
They're very similar.
Yes. All the best qualities you can imagine.
Both very special. But yes, they are good friends. And Morgan, we kind of know each other.
Yes.
Yeah. Kidding.
And one day, I think our next series should be about New York and that experience, because it bonded us and made us friends. But I didn't meet Nelly until our birthday party one day. Like, I didn't even know who she was, and she came to our birthday party. And from there, it was golden. Yep. So, you'll hear about that in our New York segment, so stay tuned.
New York is a crazy time, and if there's any people of color, especially, who are in graduate school programs, specifically predominantly white graduate school programs, then you will definitely want to tune in for our recap of our New York adventures.
Yes.
It was quite the time.
It was.
And we trauma bonded as well.
Yeah, that too.
Well, that concludes our series of Behind the Mic. You guys asked, we listened, we shared more about ourselves. It's hard in one episode to kind of share everything, so you'll obviously learn more as we continue to talk. But if there's anything that you're like, oh, I really wish that Maya talked about that or Morgan said that, then, you know, just message us and we'll be happy to talk about it on a future episode.
Yes, we will. All right. Till next time, I guess.
Till next time. Tease up.
Tease up.
Bye.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's conversation. We hope you felt seen, supported, and maybe even laughed a little along the way. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a new one. And we'd love it if you left us a rating or review. It really helps more people find us. You can also connect with us on Instagram @thoughtfully_us and let us know what you want to hear about next. And remember, while we're therapists, this podcast is not a substitute for therapy. If you're struggling, please reach out for support from a mental health professional in your area. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.